The text for our address today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Philippi, the first chapter, beginning with the ninth verse. And he says here to the flock of the Lord, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. I'm now paying the price for a bad decision I made about 20 years ago. That's what she said to me through teary eyes. I had been talking to her about the fact that her son, who had been confirmed only a year earlier in our church, was not coming to church at all, and she was a member, her husband was not. And she said, "You know, years ago my parents warned me about dating my now husband, that he didn't care about Christ and he didn't care about worship and church and spiritual things. And I always thought that someday I might change him, but it never happened. And they warned me about this, and I executed bad judgment in marrying him, because now I can't get my kids to go to church." Poor judgment about things can ultimately have some pretty serious consequences sometimes. That's true in business. It might be true in your schooling. It can certainly be true in people's personal lives, and especially can be true in our spiritual lives, which is what St. Paul is addressing for us today. He prays here that to the Philippians, and it's true for all of us, that your love may abound in knowledge and all discernment. Knowledge and discernment. Such an important part of our lives as Christians in this very difficult and dangerous world with so many temptations around us and so on. The Greek words here are very interesting that St. Paul chooses to use. It has to do with perception, not just physically, visibly seeing something, but a moral perception, a moral understanding, weighing things according to the will of God. Christian judgment. We sometimes use the expression sanctified reason. It's a word that is often used to describe the kind of wisdom that a person gains as they go through life and go through experiences in life. It's not just something you learn in a book, but it's a wisdom, a deeper wisdom that comes with having gone through certain things and trials and so on. A literal translation, one commentator puts it like this, that you may test the things that really make a difference and that really matter. Here at Bethany, I'm sure by now you've heard of this motto we have, "One thing needful." Have you heard that? Probably have heard it over and over again. "One thing needful." And that motto certainly speaks to the most important thing that we have, and that is the wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That through the work of God's one and only Son, who came into this world and took on human flesh, who went and lived a perfect life in our place and went to the cross to atone for our sins, by faith in him we have life in heaven. The one most important, needful thing that we can ever hold on to and grasp in this world. And along with that precious gospel about how to get to heaven comes also the remainder of Scripture that serves and accompanies that beautiful teaching. All of the doctrines of Scripture, all of the commandments of God are ultimately there and in place to serve that one thing needful. And this also then becomes part of the one thing needful, to view your life through the cross, to view your life and to understand your life from the perspective of what your Savior wants and how your Savior would guide you in this wicked world. And so, when you're here on this campus, there are many things you can learn intellectually, and I hope you're gaining much great earthly, worldly knowledge in that way. But more important than all of that is the spiritual knowledge and the spiritual wisdom that you gain through the Word of Christ. We sometimes talk on campus about the importance of learning aspects of critical thinking, to be able to pull in a variety of perspectives as you make a decision or analyze something, and to be able to look at it from a variety of angles before you rashly make a decision so that you can properly understand and critically determine what would be best and what would be the wisest solution. But the greatest thing that we can teach you here on this campus is spiritual critical thinking, based on the Word of God and the direction that your loving Savior gives you through that Word. St. Paul said to the Romans that they should be transformed by the renewing of their mind, to take and process the decisions you're making in life through the Word of God and according to His will. C.F.W. Walther once said that many a layperson excels in the realm of faith and wisdom beyond the intellect of his pastor. That is very true. I've certainly found that to be true in churches I have served. What Paul is talking about here is not something that can be measured by grades. I remember years ago I had a young lady in confirmation class, and she had a learning disability and did not do very well on the quizzes and tests that I would give, and had a hard time memorizing and so on. And yet, when you sat and talked to her one-on-one, she just had an amazing faith, an amazing ability to process what God would say about a variety of subjects. So even though intellectually she maybe would have measured low on the totem pole, yet this knowledge that she had of Christ and how Christ would have us look at things was amazingly high. A commentator by the name of George Stekart said this: "A Christian shows his true character that he tests and proves everything with the question, will my God approve of this?" So in a private moment with your boyfriend or girlfriend, when things are starting to heat up, will my God approve of this? At the party, when you're pressured to do something that the group wants you to do and you're starting to feel that difficult, uncomfortable feeling to go along with something you know is wrong, will my God approve of this? When someone asks you out, or when you're selecting someone to ask out on a date, will my God approve of this? When you're searching for things on the internet, will my God approve of this? In conversation, when you're invited to join along with everybody else who's just ripping apart the reputation of someone you all know, will my God approve of this? When you're choosing a book or an instructor or some way to be spiritually fed, will my God approve of this? Now, why does all of this matter? St. Paul says that you may be sincere, meaning in your faith, and without offense till the day of Christ. Without offense. Those are pretty intimidating words. Who in here could say that we're going to live our lives without offense until the day of Christ? It's interesting that in the Bible, nearly every great figure of faith that Scripture puts in front of us, all of the towering figures and pillars of faith, we also have examples from their lives of how they executed bad judgment in certain situations. The Holy Spirit made sure to include in Scripture these failures of the great saints. Noah comes out of the ark and has just been spared by God and spoken of as this great and faithful man, and just verses later we find him passed out, face down, naked in his tent. Abraham lying about who his wife is, contrary to what God had wanted of him. The one who would mark God's people in this world, the children of Abraham. Moses, the great towering figure that leads the Israelites out of slavery back to the promised land, and yet blatantly disobeys God to such an extent that God doesn't permit him to actually enter that promised land. David, who God uses to write the beautiful Psalms that we sing. We have this amazing story of his adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of her husband. And the list goes on and on throughout Scripture. Now, the Holy Spirit did not include these incidents in the lives of the saints for us to be able to say, well, if they did it, I guess I can too. I guess it really doesn't matter. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to remind us and to bring us back to the central truth of Scripture, the true one thing needful, that our hope of heaven is not based upon how well we live our lives and how well we've executed good judgment, but rather on Christ, our Savior, who's gone to the cross for every one of our sins to shed his holy and precious blood. And even these saints, with all of their failures and mistakes in life, just like you and me, are those who in the kingdom of heaven are talked about as having washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Through the process of repentance of all sin, recognizing the times that we have fallen down, looking to God for his grace and forgiveness, and getting back up and striving to obey our Lord's will once again. Those who hold on to Christ by faith and want to listen to the voice of their good shepherd, because that will never let us down. Amen.